Well, good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. God bless you. Go ahead and open up in your Bible to Proverbs this morning. Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to talk about ruin today. In fact, I like the word ruination even better. But what you see up on the screen are just these beautiful mansions that are now in ruins. I mean, there's got to be a story there. I mean, think of the money. Think of the families. Think of the history that go along with these places that are now just completely, totally abandoned and ruined. And it looks like they're maybe trying to restore that place, or look like they tried to restore that place and just gave up. I mean, doesn't your heart break when you go past a place like that? Sometimes you think, why? Why didn't somebody before this just got to this place? Why didn't somebody come in and just fix this before it was completely, totally gone? And so today we're going to talk about ruination. Ruin is the downfall or the destruction of anything. Ruins, then, are the remains of a destroyed or a decaying building or town. So to ruin, the verb form, to ruin is to injure irretrievably. And what I find in the Proverbs is warnings against certain things that will lead to a person's ruination. There's just some things that if you let them go too far, or if you neglect certain things, certain areas of your life, it will lead to ruin. There's going to be things that are just destroyed, things that will just decay and deteriorate, and some things will be injured irretrievably if we don't do something about it. So look at Proverbs 5 this morning. Proverbs 5. I love the Proverbs. I used to think the Proverbs were written especially to young people, and I think that they are. And I think younger people should spend a great deal of time looking through the Proverbs and following the instruction. And the reason I think it's written to young people, I don't mean that it's too late for us older people, but there's some things that have happened in our life. If we would have been wiser, come on, when we were 17, if we would have followed the path of the wisdom of the Proverbs when we were 22, we would have avoided some ruination. There would be some things that would still be intact in our life. There would be some relationships that we would still have. Come on, somebody, there would be some money that we would still have. That was ruined. It's irretrievable. Yet I think it's never too late to start good habits, and there's still a lot of life left for most of us. And so it's not too late that if we have gone down the wrong path that we can choose a better path. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word today. Beginning in verse 21, Proverbs 5. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. But that doesn't have to be you or me. Let's pray. Father, I pray today and ask in Jesus' name that you would lead us in the path that would lead to peace, that would lead to joy, that would lead to satisfaction, that would lead to fulfillment of purpose, that would lead to a prosperous life, that would lead to a beneficial life for ourselves and for other people and even humanity. Lord, teach us Your ways today from the Proverbs. And as we learned last week, Father, that we would guard our heart, for out of our heart flows the issues of life. It affects everything that we do. And so we highly value wisdom today. We highly value Your instruction and knowledge today. We pursue it today. And Lord, if we find something in our life that is amiss, that is leading to ruination, Father, I pray that we would arrest that habit today. And Lord, that Your grace would be multiplied to us to make necessary corrections and adjustments. Lord, we commit today to being a doer of Your Word and not a hearer only, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. So, buckle your seatbelt tight today. We're going to jump into several things. So look at Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 6. And so we're really going to jump around a bit today, a little bit more than normal. But Proverbs 6:6 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." Now, for that passage, I have a title above that that says, "The Folly of Indolence." I'll be honest with you, I had to look up indolence to remind myself what it means. I understand laziness. But indolence, I really love that word, because indolence means having a disposition to avoid exertion. That's a good word. And all of you suddenly had a picture of somebody that you know to be an indolent person. But I will tell you that having a disposition to avoid exertion is going to lead to ruination in your life. And so the antidote to laziness and indolence is for us to look to the ant. Ants are amazing. You remember as a kid how long that you could just be obsessed with an anthill and just watching them work and carry things back and forth? And some of you really mean children would get out a magnifying glass and burn ants with the sun. Come on, I know some of you did that. Boys, only boys. Okay, yes. Or you know, and if you stomp on the ant pile, it doesn't discourage them. They just pop up somewhere else, and they keep on working. And they are just steady, consistent workers. It seems that you cannot discourage an ant. They are good team players. Each one pulls their own weight. As a matter of fact, I was told that an ant can lift 100 times its own weight and carry. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. You see, laziness or indolence causes the necessary things of life to remain beyond our reach. Just the things that are necessary. Laziness causes the necessary things to always be beyond our reach. It's sloth. Like, you know, the sloth? A sloth sleeps 15 to 18 hours every day and barely moves when it is awake. And so many people are more like a sloth than an ant. It reminds me of people that say, "Well, God understands why I don't fill in the blank. God understands why I don't tithe. God understands why I don't serve because, and then they give you the because. Or God understands why I don't work. That's the mantra of the indolent. God understands. But you know, we understand that when you say God and you use a curse word behind God, that's using the Lord's name in vain. And I find that to be vile, and I find that to be, you know, that hurts my ears to use Jesus' name as a curse word or to ask God to damn something and all of that because, you know, you did something stupid and now you need God to damn that for you. I understand that to be using the Lord's name in vain, but I also believe it's using the Lord's name in vain to assign something to God that really wasn't God. And to say God understands something when you're not sure that He absolutely understands it or not is using the Lord's name in vain. Are you following me? You see, because that just sounds like an indolent person to me. See, God understands why I didn't take that job or I'm not doing that because, you know, it's too hot. Well, God understands why I didn't take that job because it's too cold. Or it's too early, or it's too late. Or God knows I really can't work on the weekend. Or it's too many hours. I couldn't take that job because it's just too much. Or I didn't take that job because it wasn't enough hours. Well, there was several times early in my life when you're trying to get started in life. Come on, somebody. Nobody's going to give you a full-time job, so you have to take some hours here, and you take some hours there, and you take some hours. And there was a lot of times where we had to work all day and then do something else in the evening time to make it all work and pay the bills. Are you following me? You see, God understands that we're supposed to look to the ant, not to the sloth. That's what God understands. And the way of the ant is to steady, stay after it, and do what needs to be done so that when winter comes, there's something to eat. Are you listening to me? You know, there was a saying back when I was a kid that you need to make hay while the sun's shining. As a matter of fact, the Proverbs go on to address this just a little bit more. Proverbs 20 and verse 4 says, "The lazy man will not plow because of winter, and he will beg during harvest and have nothing." It just wasn't a good day. It just wasn't a good day. It just wasn't a good day for that. Proverbs 13 verse 4 says, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." Now we're really going to switch gears here. Go to verse 20 of chapter 6 of Proverbs. "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. An adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent." How many people's lives have been ruined because of infidelity? I came to church to feel good. I know. And you'll feel a lot better if you walk the path of the wise. Now, there's forgiveness for everybody. Come on, somebody. But I will tell you, you cannot bring fire into your bosom and your clothes not be burnt. You cannot be sexually promiscuous and it not have consequences. You can't be a cheater and it not bring lots of ruination. It's going to ruin not only your own life, but lots of other lives. Anytime I've ever had a thought, well, isn't she all that? There's a series of consequences that's through my brain of how it could never, ever, 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 ever be worth it. Because not only am I going to hurt Michelle, and I will hurt my children, and they will hurt me, but then there's the other woman, and if she has a husband, and if she has children, then there's this church, and then there's this community, and then there's all kinds of people just waiting for somebody like me to do something like that so they can use that as their excuse never to follow and serve God. You can't do that and not be burned. And it leads to ruination, not only of yourself. Look at this. Go to verse 30. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself, when he is starving. Okay, let's just stop right there before we read on. Okay, here's the scenario. This guy's starving. And maybe he has children to feed. So he steals something. Because he doesn't have a job, so he steals. You know, even if he's caught, people would understand why he did it. Right? They would understand why he did it. Like he had a reason. However, look at verse 31. It says, yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. In other words, even if he had a good excuse, it's not like he's going to get away with stealing, because that's never the solution to your problem. That's never the solution to your situation. Even if you're starving, you can't just steal. There's no justification for it. Yet people would understand why. What motivated you to do it. But there's still consequences. You're still going to pay sevenfold, seven times what you stole. And he must give up, even if he has to give up all the substance of his house. It might even cost him everything, yet it would be understandable. Are you following me? Yet not without consequences. Adultery, fornication, verse 32, whoever commits adultery with a woman is just dumb, lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor will he get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts. In other words, even if somebody stole out of a desperate situation, when he is caught, it's still going to have bad consequences. When you're caught in your adultery, you're certainly going to pay dearly. Far more than what you ever could imagine. And the sorrow and the hurt and the ruin that it will cause. There's no amount of money. There's not enough time to fully... There's just some things that will be lost forever because of it. Can you guys hear the warnings in here? I'm not trying to preach condemnation. I'm trying to preach warnings against. Well, why do you do that at church? Because church people do this just like every other kind of person. And so many people say, I must have lost my mind. It's ruined so many things. I don't know if I'll ever have the relationship with my kids again that I ought to have. Maybe you recover because, I don't know, things just don't bother you that much. But what about the other people's lives that you've ruined? Maybe you can just get over it. But you left a wake of ruination behind you. The answer is this, Proverbs 5, verse 15. Drink water. I know it's quiet in here today, and I wish I could just preach feel-good sermons all the time. I really wish I could because, man, those guys have huge followings. And they write books, and they sell a gazillion copies because everybody just wants to feel good. But I'm just telling you, you can't avoid this stuff. I mean, from my position, we have to deal with the fallout of all this stuff all the time. And it would be better if you just didn't do it in the first place. And then we wouldn't have to help you clean up all the messes that you get yourselves into, that we get ourselves into. And that's why the Bible is such a precious book to me, because it tells us how to avoid all of this ruin. And it would be better to learn from instruction than to learn from experience. The school of experience is a great teacher. But sometimes the tuition is more than what we can afford to pay. And we spend the rest of our lives paying the tuition for that lesson that we learned the hard way. Proverbs 5 verse 15, I love this. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad? Streams of water in the streets? Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. Why should you, my son, be enraptured by the immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? It doesn't make sense. Drink water from your own. If you put the energy and the effort into your marriage, that think about the energy, think about the effort that it takes to have an affair. I am too old to expend that much energy on something that will lead to ruination. Thank you very much. How about I just put that energy into the marriage that I have, and so how much more productive and beneficial that would be. And to be enraptured, do you understand enraptured? Enraptured is this glorious, glorious word. I didn't write it down. Okay. Enraptured. Think about intoxicated. Enraptured is close to just like this euphoric sensation. So it says, you, husband, be enraptured with your own wife. So in other words, when you think about your own wife, you should go, wowzers! You know, I mean, just, wow! That's enraptured. Something like that. Maybe it doesn't come out wowzers for you. And I'm not sure it's ever come out wowzers before for me either, but I think you understand. You know, because people get obsessed with that other person. And they just become fixated with that other person. And they become more beautiful than they really are. They become more charming than they really are. They become more interesting than they really are because you became enraptured thinking about that person. You could do the exact same thing with the person you're married to right now. Your brain has that ability. If one more person, if you come to me, I will be very loving and very understanding, and I will help you as much as I can get out of the mess that you just got yourself into. But please don't come to me and tell me how you fell out of love. You could fall out of bed. You could trip and fall. You know, you could fall into the lake. But you did not fall out of love. You stopped loving. You stopped loving. You didn't lose it. Because we treat love like it's this commodity you have or don't have. And that it could just dissipate and disappear. Or that it shifts from one thing to another thing. But love is a verb. When we're talking about love in marriage, it's a verb. It's not a noun. It's something that you do or you don't do. It's not something that you have or don't have. Are you following me? Be enraptured with your own husband. Be enraptured with your own wife. Enough of that. All right, go to chapter 11, Proverbs 11. I've got a little time. See, if we're stepping on your toes, we're going to move on to the next one. So, Proverbs 11 verse 1 says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride comes, then comes shame, and with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteous of the blameless will direct the way of the aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteous of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. It's a little bit of a stretch here, but I think without going through all the Proverbs, let's say that the road to ruination starts with dishonesty and greed. A dishonest scales. We all know somebody that for some reason they're just dishonest. We don't completely get them, but there's just some people that will lie for no good reason. Come on. And you just catch them all the time. And it's just like, why would you lie when the truth would be just as easy? And there are people that just steal. They just steal. I don't know if it's a greed thing. It would seem to be, I want something that I don't have, so I'm just going to take it. Now, in so many other ways, they have so many other great qualities, we'll say something like this. Yeah, but they're such a good person. Really? Now, if they stole from you, come on, somebody. If they stole from you, you wouldn't say that. See, we need to make things a little more personal. Just taking something that doesn't belong. Now, there's ways to do that. There's ways to do that in business. And that's what he's referring to, dishonest scales. Our car broke down while we were on vacation. We were sitting on the side of the road because it was an alternator, and man, we were just dead. Mile and a half from where we were staying, and it was midnight, the first night we were there with groceries in the car. Thank goodness for those. And finally, the local police guy, you know, stops by and he said, "What's up with you? I've been seeing you sit here for a long time." I said, "Thanks for finally coming by." And he's giving me all this trouble. And I said, "Well, you know, I've called, you know, the tow truck's coming, and finally figured out somewhere to take it because, you know, you're sitting in the dark on this island and just, you don't know where to go." All you've got is your smartphone and you're looking up, you know, places to go, and it's the 3rd of July. Come on, somebody. And so it's going to be Monday until, and this is Friday night. We're going somewhere with this. Well, then this local cop begins to tell me how all these mechanics are just a bunch of shysters around here. You like that one, Horton? You like that one? And they'll just cheat you. And then proceeds to tell me about the one guy, you know, like Brian, that he would trust. That's where you should. I said, too late. The wrecker's coming. Come on, and we're going to take the car over there. But you know, if I don't feel good about this, when I finally get a hold of this guy on Monday, we'll do something else. Then there's all this fear starts flooding me, like how I'm just going to be taken to the cleaners, and you know, my $300 repair is going to be $3,000, and they're going to tell me it's going to take a month and a half to fix my car, and all this stuff. Why? Because people do that. But thank God, that's not what happened to us. I mean, we called, they got the part. As a matter of fact, they shipped the wrong part to them. And this lady, I get on the phone, she says, I know your car's supposed to be done today, sir, and it's been a long time. You know, I didn't even want to call you. She says, I've been cussing out somebody in Florida for the last 20 minutes. I'm like, okay. She said, they sent the wrong alternator. I said, not your fault. Not your fault. But they did it exactly. I mean, they charged me not a nickel more than they should have. They took care of me like I was their best friend, and I'd never met them before. That's honesty. Honestly, that guy could have charged me $300 or $400 more in labor. What am I going to do? I'm, you know, 1,300 miles from home. I got to get home. I've only got so many days rented there. But he didn't. He was honest. So there's a lot of ways to steal from people. But I'm telling you, you're doing damage to your own life. I know people that can't get recommended for a job because they've been caught stealing too many times. And if I know about it and you call me and say, hey, should I give so-and-so a job? I have to say, well, you know, they're kind of a good person. But they've been caught stealing multiple times. I think you ought to know that as a business owner. You know, buyer beware. People's lives are ruined over dumb stuff. If you just spent that same effort working and being honest, you'll build a reputation of being dependable and being honest, and that you'll take care of people. And for that short-term gain, you've just lost your whole life and all these opportunities that would avail you because you're dishonest. Honesty is the best policy. All right, finally, Proverbs 20. And here's the answer, verse 24, Proverbs 11. There's one who scatters yet increases more. There's one who withholds more than what is right. It leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich. And he who waters will himself be watered. In other words, the antidote to being dishonest and trying to cheat people and steal and so forth is just living to be generous. Like God's blessed me. I have more than enough. I want to give some to you. I want to help this person. I want to help that person. I want to do the other thing. So you're not prone. It has happened. It's sad. I don't understand. I know a guy that gave millions of dollars to a certain ministry. Millions of dollars to a certain ministry. But he had done so by stealing people's money through a Ponzi scheme. I don't need to go into all that. But it basically, you know, think Bernie Madoff. And then he would give the money. So, all my simple answers aren't so simple. Because some people will steal so that they can be Ananias and Sapphira. Appear to somebody else to be far more generous than they really are. Come on, somebody. Just work hard, be steady, look to the ant, be generous, and it will be some protection against dishonesty and lying, stealing, and so forth. All right, finally. And I didn't want to go here. I didn't really want to go here. And I've never preached a sermon on this ever in my life. But by conviction of the Spirit of God, I'm here this morning. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed drink. Do not look on wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly, and at the last it bites you like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like those who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies on the top of the mast saying, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?" Lives are ruined by alcohol and drugs. Absolutely, completely ruined. Totally, completely ruined. I was talking to Aaron Douglas about this, and we were, because Aaron preaches the same message that I preach every week in Cameron. We work on the outline and that sort of thing. And he said there were so many people his age, when they started off into college together, they had all these ambitions and they had these dreams about what they were going to do with their life and career. And many of them didn't make it all the way through college because of partying. I saw a young man who started off in life. Again, don't tell my stories outside of church. I mean, he had this huge ambition. I won't even tell you what he wanted to do, but it was going to take him 6 or 8 years, you can fill in the blank, to get all the way through school. Had this big ambition. And we have several people in our church that have this profession. And it's a great ambition. But one day, Michelle and I were at Sam's Club buying things for the church. Ran into this young man. Nothing wrong with what he's doing now, but it's not what he set out to do. It wasn't his life's ambition. It wasn't. And he was selling DirecTV subscriptions in Sam's Club. Again, nothing wrong with that. But you see, partying, marijuana, robbed him of his ambition. Robbed him of his dream. Never got into the program that he wanted to get into. Not sure if he ever even finished his bachelor's degree. I don't know. Come on, we live in a day where it's becoming more and more acceptable to drink alcohol. I'm not here. This is not an anti-message, but I'm telling you, there's a road that leads to ruination. If you're living for the next drink, if partying becomes more important to you than studying, if partying becomes more important, it's Friday, can't wait till Friday. It's Monday, dude. It's Monday. But all you're thinking about is, I can't wait for the weekend so I can get wasted. There's something going wrong in your life. If you're using drugs or alcohol to self-medicate, to deal with some problem that you're having. Well, I just need a glass of wine to sleep. You're in trouble. As a matter of fact, read up on it. It's probably preventing you from sleeping, not helping. That's a wives' tale. It doesn't help. Doesn't. Now again, you're not hearing me say, I'm just saying if it's leading to ruin, if you've lost relationships and you've lost jobs, you've lost opportunities, you've lost your ambition. Come on, you might as well brace yourself for this fact. If a couple of states have already accepted marijuana, it's just coming to all of America. Just like everything else that's been happening. All right? Have you ever really met the really ambitious person that talks about dope smoking a lot? Now, I'm not saying there's people that don't... It's illegal here, by the way. Come on, somebody. I'm not saying there's not people that are hyper-productive that toke on a little weed. I'm just saying those that are obsessed with it, that are living for it, that can't wait till the next one, those that are just absolutely addicted, I'm telling you, it leads to ruin. There's two answers from the Bible for you. Moderation. But for some people, that is not an answer for you. Moderation is not an answer for everybody in the room. Because some people cannot moderate that activity. Are you listening to me? Jesus said, if your eye offends you, what? Pluck it out. Or if your arm offends you, do what? For some people, abstinence is the only answer to your problem. Well, I ought to be able... You ought to, but you can't. I'll pick on this one. I love to eat, and it's starting to show a lot more than it used to. Love good food. Love good restaurants. Love spectacular food. I'm married to a gourmet chef in almost every kind of cuisine. That's just fair and unfair. But there is not a meal I've ever eaten that I think I'd risk my career for this. I think I'd risk my relationship with Michelle. Because I'm telling you, these meatballs are just to die for. But people's lives have been ruined because of drink. Or ruined because of drugs. And you just have to know who you are. Come on, somebody. Some people have never been tempted to cheat on their wife, and so there's a certain situations you can be in that other people that are tempted to cheat, you can't put, you have to cut off that arm. Some people, I suppose, can just, you know, have a beer with their pizza and, you know, they're okay. They don't want another one. But I've talked to people, family members, and said, I can't have a glass of wine because I end up drinking the whole bottle. You just have to know who you are. Are you listening to me? Some of you are workaholics, so this laziness part doesn't apply to you. You just have to apply the part of the sermon today that does. And I'm just telling you, let's follow the way of the Proverbs and last week's sermon. Let's value wisdom so much. I'm just telling you, don't let anything lead your life to ruin. It's avoidable. There's a way out. There's a way escape. There's a way from God. There's a godly way. There's a godly way to express my love in that part of my life. And it's with one woman for the rest of my life. Are you listening to me? There's one way for me to pursue this ambition in my life to succeed, but it doesn't have to cost. It doesn't have to hurt other people. I don't have to cheat or steal or lie. Or deceived to do that. Are you listening to me? There's a way to enjoy what God created on the earth. But you know what? You can eat too much. Which we did yesterday. Just ridiculous. Like you came out of the barbecue place going, that's just dumb. Man, why did we eat that much? You can enjoy the things that God has created. But there's a way that it leads to ruin. Let's be wise. Amen. Let's follow the wisdom of the Lord. And in our money, in this quest to have and so forth, I just think God has given us a means to keep that part of our life in check. And it's in giving. It's in living to give. Proverbs 3, and we'll read this, and I'm asking the ushers if you'd come and serve the people, please. If you can go ahead and prepare your tithes and offerings this morning. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." There's just a way to temper that greed and that dishonesty in me, that lust for more, and that's just living to give. That's just living to give. There's a way to satisfy everything honorably, these desires that we have in us. We follow the way of the Lord. And I'm just telling you, there's a principle from God that has to do with sowing and reaping. And over and over and over again, and you find it in the Proverbs more than once, that as we give, there's something about that opens up the windows of heaven, that opens up opportunities, that opens up our own minds and our own abilities to receive more than what we gave. When you allow yourself to love your wife or love your husband, come on, in the way that God intended, man, it brings satisfaction. I mean, just overflowing, intoxicating, enrapturing satisfaction in your marriage. There's a remedy for every proclivity towards evil in us, and it's all found in the Proverbs. So let's be generous today. Let's give. Come on, somebody. Let's sow our first fruits to the Lord and trust that is the way that leads to life and blessing, prosperity, and just having enough and more than enough. Amen. Let's hold them up before the Lord. Father, we just thank you that you teach us your ways, the ways of wisdom, the ways of understanding. Father, if we touched anything today that any person is struggling with, Father, I pray that you bring deliverance, bring healing, bring restoration to them. Father, we bring our tithes and offerings in the storehouse, and we thank you that you're faithful to your word, that you rebuke the devourer for our sakes, that you speak your benediction, you speak your blessing over our life, and you open those windows of heaven and pour out your blessing upon us. Lord, we believe that. We receive that. We thank you for it. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for a full supply in the house of God, that everything that you called us as a church family to do together, we're able to do that. We have no lack, we declare in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, go ahead and serve the people, please. If you want to call in the name of the Lord Jesus today and be saved, it's no better day. Today is the day of salvation for you. Come forward and we'll lead you into salvation prayer. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. You can be dismissed. We'll see you next time.